trying to find out if you give up books or if you don't. Well, let's ask Professor Barry Shube that question before we get into the more serious stuff. Professor Barry Shube is the chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee for COVID Vaccines. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Do you, once you start a book, do you see it through, even if you're not enjoying it?
Howard, no, I'm not sure I do. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't see it through just for the sake of seeing it through.
Yeah.
It really depends on the contents.
Well, I guess if it's an academic, something academic, and you need that information, even if you're struggling, I guess you struggle through it. But something that isn't, that you don't have to.
Yeah, well, in that category, yeah, I guess I have to struggle through it. But not for recreational books, sure.
Yeah, well, me as well. That's what we were trying to find out from listeners. All right, so there's definitely been, every now and then, every few days, we see, you know, a new disease in China. 35 people have come down with something. We're hearing about polio. We've got monkeypox. South Africa's developing a foot and mouth thing. Is it anxiety, or are we seeing more cases of strange things happening around us?
Yeah, how to look, it's an excellent question. A lot of people have asked me that. You know, we don't know, is it real or is it just perceptions? And when I say perceptions, is it in that category, is it because our surveillance is very much alerted to look for new diseases? Look, I think certainly there have been new infections. It's not only recently, I think it really goes back a couple of decades. And also there's been a reappearance of old things like polio, for example. You mentioned polio. I think that is because people have stopped vaccinating. I think there's now an apathy to get vaccinated, and more people are becoming anti-vaxxers, even for the routine vaccinations like polio. And I think that's why that has reappeared. But in regard to the new infections, yeah, look, it happens in two steps. First of all, there's the introduction of a new infection, and this obviously mainly comes from the animal kingdom. And it's been estimated that about 70% of the really new infections have come from the animal side. And that's really because humans are intruding into a hereto unknown, for humans, animal ecosystem. That's, you know, the deforestation with the illicit wild animal trade, right, et cetera, right. So all these new exposures to infectious agents humans haven't been seen before. And obviously when that agent gets into the human population, which is totally susceptible, it'll spread very, very, very widely. Also, don't forget climate change itself is also a factor, because both droughts as well as floods will affect the way that humans interact with the ecosystem if they haven't been exposed to before. So that's the one thing. It gets introduced. And another factor, of course, is how it spreads. And really, it's both the human behavior, with, you know, global travel, for example, will, you know, disseminate very widely. It takes 24 hours to go from one end of the world to the other end of the world. It's not like, you know, many years ago. And also, obviously, human habits, people coming crowded together, all that kind of stuff, which we were used to from COVID, also promotes the spread of these exotic agents. So, and then there are the viral factors.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
No, carry on going through them, because I think this is very valuable.
Okay, viral factors, you know. Look, if, you know, many of these new infections, fortunately, because they're only spread when the person is ill, it makes it a lot easier to control. But when we have something like COVID as one example, not the only one, but one example, where the virus spreads before a person is ill, they don't know they're ill, and therefore they circulate, and that's why they spread it. So it's both the human behavioral things as well as those viral factors which facilitate the spread. So it's introduction followed by spread.
How difficult is it to transition from a localized problem? So let's just assume we've got this case that you're talking about, maybe deforestation. We're talking about a spread from animal to human in an area in China. Well, it doesn't need to be China. It can be anywhere. What are the factors or the chances that it becomes another COVID type of thing, or just kind of fizzles and dies within that area?
Yeah. And I think there are actually two things. The one thing is the alertness of the system to be able to pick it up and control it by isolation or whatever interventions is applicable. So now, and that's obviously facilitated by, as I mentioned earlier, if the infection causes illness so that the person that's infected is aware of it and might be to control. And then obviously to have a good alert system. And this is why there have been a number of these new infections, probably names which many people haven't heard of yet. Right. Nipah and Henipa and Hunter virus and so on. Those fortunately were well controlled. And in fact, the original SARS, it wasn't called COVID then, SARS-CoV-1 in 2003, fortunately, that only, it is only infectious once a person was ill. And that's why it was easy to just kind of stamp it out. That certainly does help in containing it so it doesn't spread globally. Unfortunately, with COVID, we weren't so lucky.
There was the lag, and that lag was obviously, and people were infectious before they showed symptoms, which was part of the problem.
Which is the problem.
How do we, just going back to the polio discussion, because I think that is a very relevant one. You and I have often spoken about anti-vaxxers, and I got myself into a lot of trouble because I was, I wanted a campaign, hold them down and vaccinate them. But the truth is that the anti-vaxxers have in many ways either been given or given themselves, were allowed to have an incredibly strong voice, and whether we agree with anything or not, which obviously we don't, damage is done. Damage is being done. How do we reclaim the notion and the importance of people making sure that their children and they are vaccinated? I mean, how many people have to die and or have to suffer from an illness like polio, which has a tremendous impact on life, before the pendulum swings again?
Yeah, look, this is the toss up. It's a legal, ethical, moral, discussion. How much can you impose on the human right to kind of, to be able to kind of decide on their own bodies? The only problem is that they don't, that decision doesn't only affect them, it affects other people as well. So there is legislation in some countries. For example, in the United States, all 50 states do have a school entry requirement that you have to be vaccinated. They do make some exceptions for religious or medical reasons, obviously. But 95% of children cannot enter a school unless they've been vaccinated.
Mm.
Unfortunately, in this country, we don't yet. The Government Gazette encourages, but doesn't make it a mandate. Obviously, private schools can insist on it, but the public schools, and this is one way. The other way is, to kind of mandate vaccination in workplaces, but, to kind of have generally for the country, I'm not sure I'm qualified to talk about it.
Yeah.
I can give a personal opinion.
Yeah.
And that I do think that because it affects other people. It's not only an individual decision. But, there it is. Unfortunately, we kind of settled with that problem.
Yeah. And the current situation, let's say with regard to polio, what is the current protocol?
Yeah, look, polio is just such a sad kind of story because, when the global campaign started, it started way back following the success of the smallpox eradication campaign. And there was a lot of optimism that we'd be able to eradicate polio. In fact, Rotary kind of set a deadline at 2010, WHO 2000. Now we're 2022 and we still got these dribbling cases. And the problem is that if we were to eradicate polio, we wouldn't need to vaccinate people. Then we don't need any controls, like we don't vaccinate for smallpox. And that's the whole idea. And that saves billions of dollars yearly globally. Right. And unfortunately, because of various, I think it's a whole discussion on its own, why we haven't reached that deadline yet. But one of them, of course, that there are anti-vaxxers. And the fact that individual in New York, which is a young man, and actually from the Orthodox Jewish community, who wasn't very vaccinated, who's now paralyzed.
Wow. I actually didn't realize that he was from the Orthodox Jewish community. That always upsets me, not necessarily because I value the Orthodox community more than others, but just because I hate the fact that sometimes the non-vaxxing, and I'm not even sure it's anti, sometimes it's just simple neglect, negligence, that that often comes from, you know, it seemed to come from these this type of community, and that's my perception, which I hate having, because you know it doesn't feel good. That's you know.
But then again, you see that kind of decision, which that individual, that community, or that family made, now kind of contributes to the fact that we haven't yet reached the goal of eradicating polio.
Right. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. So it's in reality, what you're saying is it's actually a combination of all of these factors. It might be that we're a little bit hyper sensitive to it, having just come out of a pandemic. It might be as well that we've got an impact of anti-vaxxers, and there are factors that actually, in terms of deforestation, the global warming, and all sorts of other things, that might well create opportunity, more opportunity for these strange illnesses. And I think that probably what you're saying is a combination of all of the above is the reality.
It is a complex story.
Professor,
absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Very, very interesting. Professor Barry Shoup, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines, talking to us about the new diseases that seem to be popping up all over the show.